Loving Father, though we have sinned against you and against our neighbours, we thank you that we stand forgiven through faith in Jesus. Thank you that he has borne the punishment that our sins rightly deserve at the cross, so that we can serve you without fear of condemnation. So as we come now to turn to your word, the Bible, and as James comes to preach for us, please help us to be the people whom you have saved us to be and whose lives bring you glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as it's Pentecost, we're taking a break from the book of James and we're turning to the book of Acts, where we read about the coming of the Holy Spirit. So please do pick up one of the church Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 2, which you'll find on page 1093. And Andrew Budd is going to read for us from Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 1.
When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues, as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment, because each one heard their own language being spoken. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Aren't all these who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in our native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's have a prayer together before we look at the scriptures. Father, we thank you for the joy of the day of Pentecost. We thank you, Lord, that You sent your Holy Spirit in power on the first disciples. And we pray now, Lord, as we look at this passage of Scripture, so we would hear your voice speaking to us. Help us, Lord, to grasp truths that may have eluded us in the past. Help us to digest them, to take them into ourselves, and to be built up by your word. Please be with us now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, can I say, first of all, thank you very much for the invitation to be here. Thank you, Martin, for inviting me. It's great to be with you. I've been in the church once before. Martin showed me around some months ago. But it's the first time I've been to a service. So it's really great to share in this worship on this particular day with you. Of course, it's a big weekend, as Martin has said. It's a big weekend for our country, isn't it? The Queen's Platinum Jubilee. Who could have imagined that 20-odd years ago, a Platinum Jubilee? Unique, never been one before. The longest reigning monarch in British history, 70 years on the throne. What an extraordinary thing that is. And throughout that time, as people have said, the Queen hasn't put a foot wrong. She hasn't made any missteps at all. We look to her with great thankfulness to God for all the service that she's given to our country. And in these last 4 days, this is the last of the 4 days, we've seen lots of things. The trooping of the colour on Thursday with the Queen appearing on the balcony with the royal family. We've seen that service of Thanksgiving on Friday in St. Paul's Cathedral. The derby at Epsom yesterday, if that's your thing. Well, it certainly is the Queen's thing, isn't it? And today, there'll be a pageant this afternoon, but today for us is so significant in the life of the church because today is the Feast of Pentecost, the third of the great Christian festivals of the church. After Christmas and Easter, Pentecost is of huge significance because it's the time when God sent his Holy Spirit in power on the church in order to empower the church for its mission in the world. And without the Holy Spirit, we would be a struggling church. And yet the Holy Spirit was poured out. It was the fulfillment of prophecy, the prophecy of Joel, as Peter on that day of Pentecost, in that great speech, said, this is what the prophet Joel wrote, I will pour out my Spirit on all flesh. Well, it's a milestone in the life of the church. And we're going to be looking at the passage from Acts chapter 2 that's just been read to us. There's a lot in this passage, so I'm not going to be able to cover everything. But I just want to concentrate on three things about the experience on the day of Pentecost. Three things that it was about the experience. It was a transformative experience. It left the disciples not untouched in any way whatsoever. It totally transformed them. It was a transformative experience. It was a dynamic experience. They received power. And the third thing is, it was a global experience. And I just want to concentrate on those three things for a few minutes this morning. A transformative experience. Something happened on that day in Jerusalem 2,000 years ago. Something dramatic happened to the disciples, which changed their lives forever. Instead of being a fearful bunch of people who were meeting behind locked doors for fear of the Jews and the authorities and the Romans, they were completely and utterly transformed by the power of God. They became a bold, a joyful, an exuberant bunch of people who openly proclaimed the name of Jesus on the streets of Jerusalem. Just to take Simon Peter as an example, for instance. Simon Peter, 6 weeks before, on Good Friday, had probably had the worst experience of his life. Do you remember what happened early in the morning on Good Friday? When Peter was challenged by servants of the high priest, including a little servant girl, weren't you with him? What did Peter do? He denied Jesus. No, I didn't know him. I'm not one of them. And this is the same Peter who just a few weeks before that had said, Lord, even if all the others desert you, I will never leave you. And on Good Friday, that's exactly what he does. He deserts Jesus. He denies Jesus. And in Matthew chapter 26, verse 75, he realizes exactly what he has done. And he goes out of the house and he breaks down in tears. He weeps bitterly. That's what Matthew 26, 75 says. But now, look at him. 6 weeks later, the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem, here is Simon Peter standing up before this vast multinational crowd, and he is boldly proclaiming the name of the Lord Jesus. What an utter transformation that we see in the Apostle Peter. Four things about this transformation. First of all, it was characterized by enthusiasm. The disciples did the unthinkable on the day of Pentecost. They overflowed the upper room where they'd been meeting. They went into the streets and they couldn't help themselves from speaking about the wonders that God had done in and through Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit gave them this supernatural ability to speak in languages which all that multinational crowd were able to understand. They were astonished. They were astounded. They were amazed. How is it that these ignorant, implied Galileans are able to speak to us in these languages from all over the world? They'd gathered there for the festival of Pentecost, the feast of harvest, and yet they heard these Galilean people speaking in the language of their own country. They were enthusiastic. They were brimming over with enthusiasm. They weren't timid. They weren't frightened, they weren't nervous, they weren't apprehensive, they were enthusiastic. I wonder if you remember, just 4 years ago, the wedding of Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. Did you remember that wedding? Did you see it on television? Oh, perhaps you didn't. Well, some of you did. Okay, well, the preacher at that service was a man called Michael Curry, a bishop, American bishop. I don't always agree with what Michael Curry says, but the way in which he preached at that service caused people to comment, because he preached with enthusiasm. He preached as if he believed what he was saying. When the cameras panned to some of the members of the congregation who were not always used to being in church, I think, they were sort of astonished themselves. They were amazed. But there was an enthusiasm there. Now, in our stiff upper lip British culture, enthusiasm is a little bit suspect, isn't it? We don't like to be too enthusiastic. We'd like to be a bit downbeat about things. These disciples on the day of Pentecost, they weren't British stiff upper lip, let me tell you. They were brimming over with enthusiasm for the Lord Jesus Christ, because the Holy Spirit had gripped them and had shaken them by the neck and enabled them to speak of all that Jesus had done. It's magnetic. Enthusiasm is magnetic. They preached with boldness too. When Peter stands before the crowd, he wasn't a cowering, nervous wreck as he had been. He was a man transformed. He harangues the crowd. He says, "Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man credited to God by God to you by miracles, wonders, and signs which God did amongst you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge. And you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its grip on him." There's Peter standing up and saying, "You crucified him, but God raised him. You pronounced judgment on him, but God has now made him judge over you." Enthusiasm, boldness, joyfulness. joy unspeakable, that is joy inexpressible, that erupts from the pages of the New Testament from this point onwards. In fact, of course, the disciples were accused of being drunk. They've had too much wine. When was the last time that anybody accused you of having too much wine coming out of church? When people have a little bit too much, they are merry. They are joyful. Sometimes we give the image in the church of being not joyful, not full of enthusiasm, not bold, but rather buttoned up and rather sad and downbeat. Joyfulness is what the Holy Spirit brings us because we realize just what God has done for us in Christ Jesus. And the fourth thing is enthusiasm, boldness, joyfulness, and it impacted their lives. Martin spoke just a few moments ago about the series you've been doing in James, about the reality of faith, faith working itself out in practice. Well, their newfound faith worked itself out in practice. You know, later on in that chapter, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They broke bread in their homes, ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. That's what happened. Their lives were impacted. Their lifestyle was changed. So this experience on the day of Pentecost was an utterly transformative one. They were changed. And those of us who have put our faith in Christ, those of us who have received the gift of the Holy Spirit, that's what happens when we put our faith in Christ, know what it is to experience that joyfulness in our hearts of knowing what God has done for us in and through Jesus. The Christian faith, you know, is all about transformation. It's not about standing still. It's not about holding on to traditionalism. It is about allowing ourselves to be transformed day by day by the power of the Holy Spirit so that we are conformed to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 12 says, I appeal to you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds. Transformation is here to stay, brothers and sisters. If we are Christians, then we must look to be transformed by the power of the Spirit into the image of our Lord and Savior. Well, a transformative experience. Secondly, it was a dynamic experience. You know, at the beginning of Acts, first chapter, verse 8, Jesus tells his disciples that they will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Now, the Greek word for power is dunamis. And that's related to the English word dynamite, which means that what God is promising is explosive power. He's promising something which is completely dynamic, which is explosive in its effect. And this power, of course, was accompanied by supernatural events, the sound of the mighty rushing wind, but inside. I don't know if you've ever been in a hurricane. My brother-in-law and sister-in-law used to live in Bermuda. They used to have lots of hurricanes there. Hurricanes outside can be pretty terrifying. But you imagine inside, they heard the sound of what was like a mighty rushing wind. And there were the tongues of flame which appeared and came and rested upon their heads. And then there was this supernatural ability to speak in different languages. But let me ask you this. What was the power for? Was it just to be sensational, to produce these kind of phenomena? No, the power was there for a particular reason. Because what Jesus said in Acts chapter 1 verse 8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in all Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. And that's exactly what begins to happen on the day of Pentecost. What did these foreign visitors say? We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues. Well, what were these wonders of God? Well, just read them to you from Peter's great speech. That Jesus, sent by God, whom you crucified, but God raised again. Jesus came in order to make atonement for our sins, to pay the penalty for our sins, so that all who put their trust in him can receive new life and a completely fresh start in life. So the power comes. It's a dynamic experience in order that we are equipped, if you like, in order to speak about the work that Jesus has done. I come across lots of Christians who say, well, I can't really talk about my faith. I don't really know what to say. Well, learn what to say. Tell what to say, because you know what from your own experience what Jesus has done for you. And if you don't know what Jesus has done for you, then you can't say. But if you do know, then say, speak. As opportunities arise, then use the power of the Holy Spirit to speak about Jesus. A transformative experience, a dynamic experience. And third and finally, it was a global experience. We worry about the church in this country, don't we? Church of England, Church in Wales. I was ordained in the Church in Wales originally. We worry about its decline. I read in the newspapers not so long ago that they were projecting that the Church in Wales would come to an end in 2030. Don't know what will happen to my pension. Church of England's projected to decline, to come to an end in 2050. Well, they might. But one thing I can promise you is that the Church of God won't come to an end. Because God has said, Jesus has said, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. God is building his church. He continues to build his church. And if we just raise our sights a little bit and look across the world, we see that the church is being built in spectacular numbers in parts of the world. So don't be discouraged. God will keep his church. It may not be the same Church of England that we're used to, but God will not let his church decline. I believe that God, in his great providence, arranged for this dramatic experience on the day of Pentecost to occur at precisely the time when Jerusalem would be full of foreign visitors. They were mostly from Jewish heritage, but they were from every nation under heaven. That's what verse 5 says. Not sure whether this was literally true, but it was certainly from all over the Greek and Roman world around the Mediterranean basin. There were people there from all these places. They were represented. And the point, it seems to me, is absolutely clear. The message of Jesus was to be spread over the whole world. Jesus wasn't just for the Jewish people. In fact, the Jewish people, by following Jesus, were themselves to be a light, to lighten the Gentiles. You know that phrase from the Nunc Dimittis? And that work, you know, continues today. It began in Jerusalem. It spread to Judea and Samaria and beyond. And the book of Acts, if you get a bit discouraged, sit down one afternoon and read the book of Acts from beginning to end. It's the best book on mission there is. It will thrill you. It covers a span of about 30 years. At the beginning, there are a few disciples on the day of Ascension. At the end, there are little churches all around the ancient world, even in the heart of the empire itself in Rome. In 30 years, the message of Jesus had spread throughout the known world. And today, the message continues to go to the ends of the earth, even to Hastings. And our job is to take the message of Jesus to our friends and our family, to our neighbors and our work colleagues, to our community and to our country. Let me give you a challenge. Let me ask you to question in your hearts, when was the last time you spoke to somebody about Jesus? I know it's hard in our culture to do that. We don't like talking about deep religious things, but being a church member is not about keeping the door open of the church. It's not about keeping the show on the road. It is about advancing the message of the gospel, the message of salvation that is to be found in Jesus. To do exactly what the first disciples did, to declare the wonders of God to our generation. I'm going to show you a very easy way to do it at Emmanuel Church. Martin has already mentioned Hope Explored. There are little cards at the back of the church here. There are a few of them if you want to take them. But I'm sure that he's been plugging this for a while. In 10 days' time, on the 15th of June, this next evangelistic course will run for 3 successive Wednesday mornings. I know that Martin will have been telling you to pray about it, to pray about who you might invite, to personally come along with you to one of those, to that course. Don't just invite somebody. Don't just send them along. Oh, I know this course is happening. That would be good for you to go to. Bring them with you. Come along with them. Take them along and show that you really care enough to spend your time with them doing that. And after the discussion, maybe ask them the question, well, what do you think of that? Do you think the Bible is reliable on this? And ask the question that the foreign visitors to Jerusalem asked. What does this mean? What does this mean for you? Do you believe this to be true? And if so, what does this mean for you? And pray for them continually, that the light of the gospel will dawn on them and illuminate their minds, so that they too will put their faith in Jesus Christ and experience the unspeakable joy of new life in Christ. A transformative experience, a dynamic experience, a global experience. Yes, in parts of the world, the Christian church is exploding with joyfulness and numbers. On the day of Pentecost, 3,000 were added that day. Wouldn't we love to see that in our country? Love to see a revival of faith? Love to see our churches overflowing with people, not just to keep the doors open, but so that the message of Jesus is proclaimed and digested and taken into ourselves so that we can truly be his people. Well, let's pray together now, shall we? Father, we thank you so much for the transformative power of the Holy Spirit. We thank you that the Spirit comes to equip us to speak the truth about Jesus to our friends and our family, our neighbors, our colleagues, and our community and our country. Please, Lord, give us confidence and boldness. Give us joyfulness and enthusiasm. Give us the commitment to speak the name of Jesus so that his name will be honored above all names. And we ask this for Jesus' sake. Amen.